The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Yeah, everybody, welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 447. Yeah. This is going to be a real silly, stupid, loose one, so if you don't like it when we get off the rails, I'm sorry, it's 5 o'clock. We've got big seltzer waters here.
Yeah,
so we're dehydrated.
We're recording this early we're tearing down the entire office to go down to E3, so we're recording this on a Monday night as opposed to a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about, we're drinking very strong milk right now.
It's whole milk. Anyway, I'm Max Scoville. Joining me, Brian Altano.
What's up?
And Marty Sliva.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of vodka.
Yep.
There's no vodka. It's milk. It's whole milk. It's from a local farm.
Yep. No, there's a lot of vodka. You made these very strong.
I'm sorry.
It's E3. We're going into it. The tires are coming off the car. Yeah. The car is coming off the road. And we're flying.
Look, if I'm working past 5 on a Monday, I'm going to get drunker than Garfield.
I like how you knew just stuff about cars. You're like, the wheels are coming off the car. The car's coming off the road. There's a frame, I think.
That's Andrew Goldfarb.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's the new game's not coming out anymore. Sorry, everyone. We got some delays because that's the coolest thing to have the week before E3.
Yeah, so that's this is going to be our predictions episode, but we want to start off with some of the big news that happened.
Some facts.
A couple things got delayed. We found out this morning that Horizon Zero Dawn, it's not that surprising that it got delayed. I mean, all the rumors were pointing to it coming out in 2017. What are you doing?
He's thinking. I can hear. You said Horizon, not that surprising. Yeah. His brain is moving slowly and stupidly. He's going, more like surprise in Zero Dawn. And then we get all these emails from people being Max has got to go. I know how his brain works.
So it's coming out. It's now coming out in February. Yep. And they announced the collector's edition that comes with a statue and an art book. And
interesting tactic on this whole thing, right? Because first of all, you were telling me this morning, or you were saying to a bunch of us this morning, that it's kind of the pre-damage control by saying, like, let's get all the bad news out of the way before E3. When we get to E3, we can focus on how cool this game is.
Killer demo. Hopefully we'll be able to play it for the first time.
Yeah, nobody ever announces a delay at E3, really.
Yes. No.
Yeah. But this is kind of like being like, hey, so I don't think I want to be your date to Homecoming anymore.
Yeah, right.
But here's my Amazon wish list in case you still like me.
Yes. Yeah, and honestly, like, The collector's edition looks really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a really, and it's, I think it's what, 110 or 120?
Yeah.
120 bucks.
Just stop.
Stop what?
No, I mean, I just hate when they do this, you know?
Well, I think the timing's weird because it's like, it's bad news up front and then being like, but now's your chance to give us more money than ever.
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, the good thing about this was the trailer they showed was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the new footage from new areas, and they saw new characters, and this is, like, this game's stupid gorgeous.
Yeah,
like, this it was one of those, playing through Uncharted, I was like, oh, nothing else this year is going to look this good. And I look at this, I'm like, oh, dang, this kind of looks this good.
And that's the thing, and I've talked about it on the show before, but I thought Uncharted 4 was good, not great, and I loved the environments because they were just gorgeous and some at times unsettling and haunting. Yeah. But the idea that almost all of them had these sort of breadcrumb trails to lead you out of them. I mean, you could like run around and try to collect treasures and stuff like that, which was cool. But I love the idea of like just being in this like crazy, grassy, beautiful field, and sitting around and upgrading your weapons, and then all of a sudden a robotic dinosaur walks in, and you spend an hour hunting it. Like, it's huge. It's so cool.
I'm really curious if this is going to be like open world or just really huge areas. I mean, Killzone was kind of like, they had parts that were like, this is just a large...
Shadowfall especially had larger...
It's almost that like faux pin world, where it's like that thing where it...
Damn, really?
Faux pin world.
I don't feel bad about my surprising Zero Dawn.
It definitely feels like an open world and there are big, expansive areas, but you're not truly like free.
Right, like Rise of the Tomb Raider. It was like giant areas and then tunnels.
Or even, to a lesser extent, even like a BioShock game or something where you don't have true freedom.
I was going to say open worlds.
Open world-ish. An open world-like.
Sure.
With a Z?
Open worlds.
With a Z.
Because there's more than one area, with but they're
Z.
All open. You know?
Yeah, with a Z. Yeah, I'm also curious with this now coming out in February, and if the rumors of PlayStation Neo coming out in the fall are true, if this will be one of the first-party games that really makes use of like,
and
what that system could possibly do. Or
and is that
features.
Why this was delayed?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, we've been hearing kind of rumblings of a delay for a while, but it's like that would make sense to delay it to let it launch with that capability rather than getting an update.
Yeah, the other big game that I guess a couple games got delayed this week, Yooka-Laylee, to the surprise of none of us, got pushed to Q1 2017.
We got a new trailer for that, too.
Got a new trailer. It looked gorgeous. Looked
it
awesome.
It has a Jiggy from Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, and it has a Jiggy. I know we're not supposed to talk about Jiggies on the PlayStation podcast, but I don't care because it's the greatest game of all time.
It's not.
And so, well, yeah, it is.
We'll see.
Well, Alana was here, she'd agree.
Point counterpoint.
What did I say? You were saying, like, Alana said it was a great movie, and I was like, that's like saying if, like, Ralph Wiggum loved your book. Like...
I think
I have socks older than Alana.
If this is a new trend where to delay a game you legally have to release a new trailer, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
nice socks.
Yeah, I kind of like that too. Like, hey, if you're
did you guys hear what I said when you're talking about Alana's socks, like weird dudes.
It wasn't Alana's socks. It was my socks, which are older than Alana.
No, I'm saying if
not
this
to
is
be ageist or anything. Shut I know up. Those is this, goddamn if, millennials really hate that.
If this is the new trend where to delay a game you legally have to release a new trailer, I'm totally okay with it.
And both those trailers were awesome.
It's almost like proof, right? It's like. You delay your game and you're like, but look, it exists. Like, we're not delaying it. Because that's the thing, right? There's those scary delays, which is like the Final Fantasy versus 13 or The Last Guardians, where they just go silent.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones where they're like, hey, like, we still have a date. We're just delaying it, but here's what the game looks like.
I completely disagree. I think that is. Simultaneously, it's like a 1-2 punch of deflating. Like, I guess you're supposed to be sort of elevating hype by showing a new trailer.
Yeah,
but I'm just thinking about like Watch Dogs. Like that game got delayed what 3 times?
Yeah, I mean Ubisoft had that stretch where
and it was just like, hey, so good news, everybody! Here's some great new stuff, and it's gonna another.
But
2 months.
Was also it was like what a 19-month cycle from when that game was announced to when it was released. Whereas like. I think there's a window where that's okay. I think, like, Uncharted, honestly, like, it sucks that it got delayed, but it hit all the right notes when those delays happened.
Also, by showing new footage that looks really cool, it's sort of a, like, hey, like, we promise you guys we're still working on it. Like, this is what you have to wait for. And I'm like, okay,
I actually like that a lot. And it's also because, like, let's be honest, games are going to get delayed. So if we're going to get that bad news no matter what, I'd rather be coupled with something that's kind of pretty looking. The Watch Dogs thing was interesting because, I mean, that game ended up being gorgeous and mostly pretty fun. I think the main problems with that game originated from the moment they sketched out the protagonist on day one. Like, all the story stuff that they wrote, that they navigated the entire game around, was the main problems with that game, honestly. Like, the gunplay was fun, driving was fun, like, city was gorgeous, like, hacking stuff was, like, a little thinner than we had hoped from seeing the initial trailers, but ultimately, as like a sort of teched out GTA clone, like that game was pretty dope.
Yeah,
I mean, I just feel like it was kind of a long wait for something that didn't look as pretty as what was originally unveiled. And I mean, this is one thing. Again, there was a video floating around Reddit that was like, "Here's all of Ubisoft's E3 reveals,"
right?
And it was like, "Here's something that looks amazing." And I think it's an awkward line to walk. And obviously, they're going to show off like kind of work in progress stuff. They're always going to kind of like hinge it on like, oh, this is not the final product. Final product may vary, you know. But people get mad when they see CG trailers because they're kind of just an idea. They're a sizzle reel. And then if you're showing off something like the original Watch Dogs reveal or, you know, the original Division reveal.
Yeah,
and
it's Rainbow Six.
Yeah, and it's like stunning. And then the actual thing is like considerably... you know, a step down. Yeah.
I agree with that. I think that's a separate issue. The whole sort of like the downgrading of games is hard to watch. And it's like you live in an era now where like people can call you on it because it's all documented. It's all there.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like I ordered this Doom shirt off of Amazon that like they had a photo that was perfectly clear. It looked legit. It was like the kind of shirt you you know, see at Hot Topic that's just the Doom cover art. And I was like, yeah, I'll get this. And it shows up, and it's like this – it looks like it was printed on one of those like bubble jet iron-on things.
Yeah,
and
it's
all awful. Crooked on the edges. And I was like, seriously? And it took forever to get there because they like shipped it from China or something. And it was like, okay. So if that had showed up like 2 days later, I would have been like, that sucks, but –
to have it show up that long and then be disappointed.
Like I was looking forward to it. I was like checking the mail and stuff. Yeah. So that, you know, that blows. But
Andrew, there's one more delay. And you, well, you can talk about it.
RIP Goldfarb.
Persona 5 is now Valentine's Day 2017. So I can spend the day with my one true love.
You have an out.
I honestly think that anyone who didn't see this coming was fooling themselves. Yeah. Like, I don't think... Like, once they announced that it was coming out so late in the year in Japan, I never expected it to be 2016 in the U.S.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's a big gap to localize those games. Like,
I mean, so, yeah, 4... Did 4 and Golden have those long gaps?
Golden had less of a gap. The original Persona 4 and Persona 3 had pretty big gaps, significant gaps between Japan date and U.S. date. And, I don't think this is the end of the world. I think, honestly, it's nice because, like, I want to play Final Fantasy 15. I want to put, like, 60 hours into that game. And... honestly, like, I prefer to play this in Q1.
Yeah, sure.
It is a bummer because, like, I mean, the original date was, what, winter 2014, I think, when they first teased it?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's, like, the end of the world. I think people are going to be upset. We're recording this before that announcement has come. I think people are going to be mad, but I think they'll... When it's actually out, it'll actually be good timing because it won't be surrounded by Battlefield and all these other things.
Yeah, it's just a bummer that... Like, everyone's so stoked that Final Fantasy is a global release and that we don't have to wait 6 months. And so it's sort of a blow, I think, a little bit, too. And also, like, it's good to get out of crowded fall, but now, you know, Q1 is going to be Ukulele, Persona, Horizon, Zelda, VNX.
Which is a lot how this year felt, where all of a sudden we're sitting in spring and it was like, this is...
Review season again.
It's entirely too crowded.
We don't technically know Zelda yet. That's a weird one because we know the NX is going to be March, but they haven't confirmed Zelda's actually a launch title.
Oh, really?
They said it's coming to Wii U, it's coming to NX, and the NX is March. But they didn't actually go as far as confirming it's a launch
title. We just connected the dots.
Yeah.
We'll know in a week.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's interesting that it's going to be suddenly going... Zelda might be going up against Horizon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
In terms of games where you run around with a bow and arrow and shoot majestic, weird, ugly creatures.
It's such a weird, funny thing that Q1 becomes this weird dumping ground for all the delayed games from the previous year. Mm-hmm. Like, every first quarter we see these funny games that are like, oh, like, Bioshock Infinite, that probably should have been followed the year before, and like, things like that.
Or Dark Souls,
or Bloodborne, or whatever. Like, those are games that could have done well in fall, but, like, there's always one that kills because it launched in that period.
Bloodborne.
And a few others. Mm-hmm. Bloodborne is totally the one, exactly.
What's really cool about that, as from, like, a marketing standpoint, is that so often, like, games were attached to the holiday release window because they were seen as, like, toys or products. They are a gift you get your kids. And the fact that they're spreading out across the whole year is kind of like, oh, hey, they're like movies. They come out year-round.
Yeah,
I really like that. Batman vs. Superman came out in March.
Yeah,
like,
Civil War came out in, April or early May, whatever it was.
Yeah. And it's that weird thing,
which is
like,
weird, because usually they reserve, you know, March for bad movies.
It's still that weird thing where, like, I think the idea, just like how, like, E3 is, like 2 weeks long now, it's like that same thing where, like, those traditional, like, this is when a big game comes out, or this is when a big movie, like, they always push the boundaries.
Yeah. Well, I will say that the one thing that's sort of historical and statistically relevant constantly every single year is that any game that comes out, like, in the second half of December is usually screwed.
Yeah,
and it's usually something that they're sending out to die.
The Far Cry 3 spot.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because that game was so cool, but it was like, by the time it came out, most of us already
decided
on our game of the year.
Game of the year,
Well, by then, I mean, most people had already spent $120 just on Ubisoft games
totally. And that's where Rainbow Six Siege was last year.
There was also that weird first week of January for, like, relegated to shovelware and basically anything that you could get with the GameStop gift card you got for Christmas, you know?
Whereas now, like, that end of January, like, we had Dying Light 2 years ago, and then we had The Witness this year, so we get actual good games. Ben Orchard in the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/podcastbeyond, asked, what do you guys do to cope with the news of another game delay? I feel like there's enough to go around, there's enough coming out this fall to where generally I'm fine with it. Like, we've talked before, there's a certain point to where we sort of get tired, like with Mighty No. 9, like with Evolve. There's a certain point where I'm like, all right, enough's enough. like, don't show me anything until it's in my hands.
Yeah, yeah. I tend to try to find stuff that sort of scratches the itch to an extent, which mm-hmm. is kind of tough to do with Horizon because it's like, yeah, it's got a mix of stuff we've seen in other games, but it's, I don't know, it's just so much, it's trying to do something on its own yeah. in so many ways. I know when Uncharted 4 kept getting kicked down the road, I would just randomly boot up certain sections of the previous Uncharted games.
Oh, yeah, especially with the collection there. Being there.
Yeah. I went back and played a little more Tomb Raider and stuff yeah. like that. Like, I don't know. I know when Zelda got delayed, I was like, well, I guess I'll replay A Link Between Worlds, mm-hmm. something to sort of scratch that itch.
Yeah.
One thing I've been a huge proponent of just in general, outside of games and just in life, is to keep expectations guarded and to go in with as few as possible. Mm-hmm. Because even if you have, like, I mean, if you have low expectations and this thing winds up being worse than your low expectations, then you're, like, really disappointed.
Yeah.
And if you have high expectations, then pretty much everything below that is going to be disappointing. So if you just kind of go in with a clean slate, when stuff gets delayed and I was looking forward to it, I frequently will just, like, back burner it and just try to forget as much as I can.
Yeah, I've always called that cynical optimism.
Yeah,
which is basically expecting the worst, but
almost like
being happy when the best
pragmatism.
Happens. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
But no, in the case of Horizon, like, I haven't watched the new trailer and I don't really plan on it. And I'll probably see.
You'll have to see it.
Yeah,
at E3.
I'll see it at E3. But you know, like, it's just sort of going out of my way. Like, I'll dip a toe in the pond and be like, oh, that looks all right. You know, but.
In a perfect world, it would be easy to go. Like, I'm so happy I watched as little as I did for Episode 7. I am so happy I watched as little as I did for, like, I knew nothing about, like, Gone Home going into it. Like, there's random yeah. games here and there where or movies where I'm able to go in knowing very little.
Right.
This job makes that very hard to do. But I think Horizon's one of those games where, like, it at least seems like they're being very careful with what they actually show us. So I think even watching those trailers, I feel like we've barely dipped our toe into what that world is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas, like, other things are more of a known quantity. Like, I think...
I mean, sequels are a known quantity, you
right.
know, without being pejorative. Like, Uncharted yeah. 4 is amazing, but, like, we knew what to expect
yeah.
going
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, with the exception of, like, the ending or whatever, you yeah. know, like, there's obviously surprises to be had in any story, but yeah, it's like, you know, at least what you're getting on a larger level. And I don't know, like, I think it'll be really what Horizon does is a new IP up against, like, Mass Effect or up against Persona or up against things that are, like, sort of overlapping, but not really. Like, Horizon seems like it's kind of got those, like, hidden RPG elements to
right.
it. Mm-hmm. Mass Effect is, like, the most Western of Western RPGs. Persona is a very niche JRPG. Like, those are three very interesting games to have butting up against mm-hmm. each other.
Yeah, I think it's, like, if you look at the last few years, some of the most... the games that people deem the most disappointing are also the ones that kind of going into what you were saying, Max, like Watch Dogs especially, of just like that inflating that hype over and over and over again, bigger and bigger as it keeps getting kicked down the road. It's happening right now with No Man's Sky, and I'm not yeah. saying that game's going yeah. to be bad by any means,
yeah.
but people are putting the expectations in that game that they're going to live and breathe in this brand new universe that's never mm-hmm. been explored before, and that they, I mean, I saw that one of the like the death threats that Sean got
yeah. Yeah.
that was just like, this, you know, this is
and
all I
Jason
had to look forward
for
to.
Just writing about it.
Yeah.
Like,
and
like, Sean got a lot just for making that game, but Jason Schreier
for literally
Kotaku,
doing his job and reporting
just
on the news.
Reporting on it got death threats.
But I think people are expecting, and it was sort of like when people walked out of Avatar and they got really depressed and they're like, I want to live on Pandora.
I was actually,
like,
I know that usually I'm the one who brings up Avatar, yeah. but that's exactly where I was going
yeah.
with that
yeah.
because it is this kind of like, just like, high-proof escapism.
Like, yeah. almost dangerous escapism.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly it. Yeah. That's exactly it. And I think a lot of the same stuff's happening with VR right now, and I saw a really interesting message board thread like a week or two ago about people who had a VR for a few months and were kind of just like, it's fun and I use it, but it has not fundamentally changed the way I perceive the universe
yeah.
or even play video games.
Yeah. Which is what people were hoping right from the get-go.
Yeah, from the get-go. So yeah, I think also, it's just like important, manage your expectations, don't put all the weight in the world on this.
On any single thing.
On anything, like, yeah. Like, there's so much in the universe.
Anything
can
disappoint you.
Yes, 100%.
People, places, things,
mm-hmm.
art.
Why did you look at me?
You don't disappoint me, you're wonderful.
Really?
You gave us milk.
Oh, yeah, delicious milk.
You're,
Mother's
you're
milk.
You're the mother.
I also gave Marty socks for his birthday.
Yeah, it was very
Aww.
Nice. And you guys got me shoes.
Yeah.
Man.
Because you're
we're trying to redo you from the bottom
we looked,
up.
We looked at you up and down, and we're like, where do we start?
Let's start at the bottom.
Yeah.
We'll work our way up.
From the ground up.
Now we're here.
You were literally tore up from the floor up, so we started at the floor. So on that note, there is a new thing that people are talking about. It's a crazy sequel.
Well, they will be talking about it when this episode goes live.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
we're,
right.
We're sometimes we know secrets. Watch Dogs 2?
Yeah.
What a weird, incredibly obvious sequel name.
Well, it's also like Watch Dogs sequel.
Return to...
Dude, more than any other sequel, the slow trickle of... like leading up to the announcement of this, it's like got offhandedly mentioned during like so Kotaku out of the existence of it when right. they set Assassin's Creed taking a year off. Then it got offhandedly mentioned on an earnings call, and then a YouTuber posted a like a Ray-Bans glasses case with the logo on it, and now it's finally announced. And it's like what a weird trickle of drops before actually getting officially announced. Mm-hmm. Like that might be like the most anticlimactic game announcement I can remember pre E3 for mm-hmm. quite a while. Mm-hmm.
This week. Every year has started to feel like when you were sitting around on Christmas Eve growing up and your parents were like, you can open one present. Yeah. Except you end up opening 80% of your presents now.
Oh boy, like, AAA batteries. My favorite.
Like, I mean, I don't know how long it's been like this. It feels like it's been like 2 or 3 years
yeah.
where the week or the 10 days or 2 weeks leading up to E3, we got... announcements, we got teaser trailers, we got like brand new games being unveiled.
Yeah.
And you get to the actual event and you feel like you know almost everything.
Yeah.
And that's not just us working here, that's the general public.
Yeah, now you know, I mean, everyone's seen Call of Duty and Battlefield 1 yeah. and we saw this Horizon stuff. And so, like, we got these tastes of things yeah. like before the actual show. And, like, yeah, there's totally going to be surprises, and some of them we know and some of them we're not going to know until we see them on stage.
Yeah, I mean, so to get back to Watch Dogs 2, I've been living in San Francisco for 7 years now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think the first day I was here, I was kind of like, they should make a GTA game here.
Yep.
Because it's such a weird city.
Like,
for
in
that.
A real one, not like the little part of San Andreas.
It is. I have been begging for an open world game set in San Francisco. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. San Francisco is 7 miles by 7 miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is this weird microcosm.
And it's like every neighborhood feels like a different level. Like
yeah.
every neighborhood has a distinct feel from.
It's also got like insane stunt jumps everywhere.
Yeah, there's hills everywhere. Hills. There's got beautiful scenery. There's a great backdrop. It's this perfect blend of that sort of like social justice, techie startup environment, and some of the most crazy, insane, dangerous people yeah. you'll ever meet in your entire life. Like
yeah.
one person's walking down the street with like. Blue hair, and they're like, I have a lot to say about the way equality. And then somebody else walks on the street, and he's just like,
just
like, that's the game
boss.
I want. That's, yeah, exactly.
To Marty's point, it weirdly reminds me of Zootopia, which is a weird thing to relate to, but mm-hmm. where like they show those like very distinct, like the ice area and the jungle area and
yeah,
all
yeah.
of that, like
yeah.
like zones of San Francisco, like
they're East called
Bay
neighborhoods
versus
yeah.
But I mean, like,
no,
I mean yes, yeah. but like even like a, like. I mean, from that trailer that we watched, right? Like, you can very clearly see, like, kind of a Cupertino-style area.
Yeah.
And you can see, like,
what
East
Oakland's going to be
yeah.
like,
the
what the mission's going to be
yeah.
like, what the Tenderloin's going
to
be
and
like.
And those have, like, distinct feels to them that, like, are actually really good for open world games.
Yeah, this feels like Mr. Robot San Francisco.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I totally dig
totally.
It.
Totally, yeah.
Which
yeah.
means
on a,
that...
On a more just yeah. top-down level, it also totally feels like a modern version of Hackers.
Yeah.
Yes,
the,
which is awesome.
The 90s movie, which, if you haven't seen it, and you're looking forward to this, go check it out. It's
yeah.
very, very corny.
And think
like,
about what the difference is between the characters and Hackers and Aiden Pierce.
Yeah.
The insufferable sports dad who walked around with his hat
yeah.
on.
Yeah, and so we were talking about that earlier about how that was like the wet blanket of Watch Dogs 1.
It's
yeah.
actually a trench coat, but...
The wet trench coat. Yeah, it could be a blanket,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, the dynamic weather systems will get that blanket he's wearing very wet.
Alana's actually up
on
in Montreal right now.
Right.
Seeing the game, and she was texting us back some stuff, and she said, the main character is supposed to be the opposite of Aiden. And that's super fitting. He's part of a group, really social, cheeky and charming kind of dude. He also looks cool, and I want his shoes. So evidently,
sweet.
the this is a much lighter story. It seems like the guy isn't this like antisocial. Like I didn't ask for this.
No, mm-hmm. it looks fun.
It looks fun. Yeah,
it looks like there's actually an emphasis on like on mischief and fun. It's not just
yeah,
like,
and so
you know, it's just like you're not just like the Punisher with a comp sci degree.
Yeah,
like,
right. Exactly.
Yeah. Also, like, can I just say this? I'm sorry, I've said this before, but like, the one thing I really hate about Watch Dogs is like, if you're a dude walking around in a baseball cap and a trench coat. You look like a dude walking around in a baseball cap and a trench coat. If you pull up a bandit mask over your face,
you look like a bandit.
You stick out. You look
yeah.
like the man on the neighborhood watch
yeah.
sign.
Yeah.
You stick out more.
Yeah.
The old GameSpy logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
You're the spy guy.
Yeah.
I'm the skull bandit. No
yeah.
one will
well,
suspect
and so that's
me.
The thing that, like, and like I said earlier, like, I really enjoyed that game, but that game constantly brought you back to reality
mm-hmm.
of
yep.
being like, you have to worry about your kidnapped daughter and her birthday party or your aunt, her aunt or whatever the hell. And it was all, like, it just dropped this, like, tonal seriousness on you. Mm-hmm. Every time you were like, you're out collecting things and having fun and learning how to hack and leveling up. And it was awesome. And there were like AR games you could play on your phone.
Yeah.
It just felt like this bright, vibrant, awesome, gorgeous city. The like gunplay was fun. Driving around like felt really good. It was yeah. fun and arcadey. And then every now and then you would just get a call on your phone and the mood would come crashing mm-hmm. down.
Yeah.
And it felt like watching, mm-hmm. it felt like a, watching Die Hard, and your dad comes in and he's like, did you do your homework? And you're like, ah.
He just walked across the glass.
I'm going to do it on a bus, Dad, like I always do. That's why I'm going to summer school for the fourth year in a row. Damn
yeah,
it.
But like, I'm super stoked to, hopefully we'll be able to play this at E3.
Yeah, I really hope so. It looks yeah. it looks like
also,
we will be able
to. Also, if there
to.
Was a release date announced, well, we didn't get to see that beforehand, so maybe it's coming out this year.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, we're assuming it is. Again, full disclosure, we're recording this before we've seen the announcement, but if it's this fall, cool. If it's not, man, Q1 or 2 sure are busy.
Yeah. But yeah, it looks cool. Stuff with drones, stuff with, I mean, San Francisco's ripe for this stuff. Like the juxtaposition between, like you said, like the tech sector and street kids and the homeless and the haves and the have-nots.
I was watching this trailer being like, I already know what's going to happen here. I'm going to be sitting in my apartment in beautiful, sunny downtown San Francisco, and I'm going to close the shades and the blinds, and I'm going to make it as dark as possible in my living room so I can play this game that takes place in my neighborhood and I'm not going to go outside of the real world because it's not as fun.
Yeah,
I remember GTA 4 came out at just like the perfect time for me to like live in New York but drive around New York.
Yep.
And I was like, this is sort of, because I lived, that was like the brief period where I lived in Manhattan. I'm like, this is sort of like my apartment, kind of.
And speaking of GTA, like I really loved the stuff in GTA 5 where they were lampooning tech culture. You know, you take a run through that fake Facebook, and San Francisco was rife with that kind of stuff. And we saw actually in the trailer a bunch of fake sort of like Hooli-esque companies, from Silicon Valley and stuff
Noodle
like that.
In the trailer.
Yeah. And I love that because that is so spot on. Like, me and one of my friends were making fun of that company in the city called Scoot. It's like it's like a scooter app rental service. And they're like, oh, how do you want to get there? Oh, we'll just scoot. And you see these like insufferable douchebags and these tech bros on these like little scooters they rented. And I'm like, this is perfect. I want to steal one of these in the game. I want to throw that guy off a bridge. I want to throw his scooter into the water. And I want to keep running.
I'm right there with you. If they have fixies, hoverboards, those weird unicycle briefcase things.
Yeah.
Segways and those weird little yellow cars that people ride around with that have like the different
the go-karts.
I'm pretty down with that. I think that there's a great opportunity to make like a
this
very
was
weird...
like a gorgeous looking city too. Like this was like blink and you miss it.
I thought you could say Blinken Park.
Blinken Park. that band of people who can't keep their eyes open. It was like it took me the first 20 seconds to be like, oh, that's gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, I know that street. Mm-hmm. I used to take the bus up that street.
Is that gameplay?
That was all gameplay.
Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, that was in-game stuff.
The trailer rewatch.
No.
I think that trailer was entirely in-game.
I don't think so?
I think
that trailer was all the
Although this will be the first, I mean, again.
I'm not falling for that again.
Pretty much an assumption. This is going to be Watch Dogs 1 was cross-gen.
Yeah.
So this will be the first one that's just next-gen.
Yeah, well, of course.
Right,
yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think anyone is doing, I mean, like, we... Weirdly, the Persona thing we're just talking about, like, that is still a PS3 game somehow. Like, I feel like that's much like Persona 4 are going to be one of the last games we get on.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, between this and Mafia, I'm super stoked for sort of GTA games that aren't GTA.
Yeah, I like that stuff. Yeah. I found myself, like, just realizing the last few games I played have been, like, fairly, like, linear. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes I just really want to, like, wander around and get lost.
Totally.
And, like, so I should probably get back into The Witcher, but, like, also... Mm-hmm. Man, I found myself wanting to get back in GTA, and like this is kind of like having this on the horizon is it's nice. Unlike Horizon, which is further on the horizon.
Oh, we also, speaking of open world city games, our IGN first for Agents of Mayhem went up, which is Agents of Mayhem is sort of the next Saints Row game. It's by Volition, it's in the Saints Row universe,
or
but it's
is it
about
right.
so
it's about like sort of like secret agents and spies superheroes.
I'm totally cool with them doing whatever with this franchise. Like, I was definitely one of the people who sat up bolt upright when they announced Saints Row the Third.
Yep.
This feels less cool.
I mean, Saints Row the Third is the last time I cared, honestly. Like, I think that was the right time, the right balance. It was the right difference from GTA 4. I haven't I didn't get invested in Get Out of Hell. I didn't get invested in Saints Row 4.
Saints Row 4 was like, I mean, they do this thing where they'll build the city, they'll build the, you know, the engine and the gear and everything, and then they'll basically like double dip. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the same thing with Saints Row 1 and 2, mm-hmm. With Saints Row the 3rd, and then Saints Row 4. They were like, okay, now you can run crazy super fast and jump over buildings. And it's one of those things that, like, maybe graphically it didn't look that great, but when you realize that you're like, they just are nuking the draw distance by having you flying around super fast speed.
I'm totally with you guys. I absolutely love Saints Row. It holds a special place for me,
the third because one especially right.
Yeah, it was like I started playing that game right after I got dumped like 5 or 6 mm-hmm. years ago, and it was just like this big fun goofy sandbox that was exactly what I needed tonally, mm-hmm. and also like it was like a year or two after, I want to say it was like 2 or 3 years after GTA 4. And which is, that was been a while ago now. And GTA 4 was like not goofy enough for me as somebody who like played so many GTA games and loved the pogo stick, jetpack, UFO crap and all those games to go to GTA 4 that was just sort of like, you know, this immigrant story and this dark, depressing New York City.
It was a good game, but it wasn't
totally
like it didn't have like the levity.
And I wanted something goofy, mm-hmm. and this isn't totally scratching that itch. It is like when the pirate comes out and he's like, ahoy, mother effer, and all that kind of stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's cool, but also like, this is like judging a picture of a food outside of a restaurant.
Yeah, Saints Row
like it's a CG trailer right now.
Never shown off well because it's so much based on customization.
Right. And so we'll see. We're debuting gameplay. Is that right?
I believe so.
At E3, I believe, as part of our IGN first. So that'll be part of our giant live show, which now starts on the hell. Sunday morning.
On the hell.
I'm excited for them to have their own, like, whatever this is. And like, honestly, I don't think you and I or any of us here have been like part of this process, so we're gonna be as surprised you guys are while seeing this content. But it's like, I am excited to see Volition start from the ground up again, mm-hmm. because even Saints Row 4 started as DLC for Saints Row 3.
It
was Enter the Dominatrix for Saints Row 3, got that just became its own separate thing after the THQ.
I mean, the fact that they survived that transition from THQ to Deep Silver is incredible.
Yeah, totally. And the fact that they've stayed relevant when like open world games are not rare anymore. Right? It's not like just GTA.
I mean, last year was like, there was almost too many of them. I mean, they're all great, but like between Metal Gear and Arkham and Witcher.
The Witcher,
You also have to look at like the humble beginnings of Saints Row 4, which or Saints Row period. It felt like a parody GTA made on a way weaker, way cheaper engine with none of the personality.
Porn star voice actor.
Going back and I'm looking at those games, like I urge you to go back and look at the original gameplay or trailers for the first Saints Row game.
For 360 or whatever,
It is laughable how corny that thing is.
Yeah. Yep.
For the franchise it ended up becoming is like, it's amazing.
It found its voice.
Yeah. Totally, totally.
No, Saints Row, like, I remember when it first came out, I was just like, okay, so this is like this is the Digimon to GTA's Pokemon.
Yes. You know,
this is the Monster Rancher. Like, this is the thing that, like, this is, and I mean, I remember my pal Nick Robinson, who's over at Polygon now, he was saying that he liked it because it looked like San Andreas with ragdoll physics.
Yep.
And that really, that's kind of fun. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
And I played Saints Row 2 when 3 was about to come out, because I was like, okay, suddenly I care, because Saints Row 3 looks really weird. And like,
2 was still like serious kind of, right?
Two was got very silly. Like, you had bikes named after anime characters. You had it was still kind of serious, but it was veering in that like colorful
direction.
2 was
the first one that introduced, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the one that introduced the dump truck that shot human fecal matter all over.
It was fickle matter. It just failed all the time.
It was poops.
I mean, the thing
it shot
for me,
poops.
It's more like Saints Row. It's not that Saints Row 3 is necessarily even that much better. It's the Saints Row game I spent the most time with. It was just the timing more than anything.
Yeah.
It was Saints Row 4. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, GTA 4, rather, has plenty of goofy, silly stuff in it, but it was also trying to be bigger than that. Yeah. It was trying to be inspired by, like film and trying to feel like an Oscar movie, whereas Saints Row 3 was just totally, like, we can do whatever we want. We can sell a dildo bat.
There's a very clear divergence there where I feel like one of them went, like, kind of Carrot Top Jim Carrey, and the other one went, like, Bill Hicks, George Carlin.
Right.
Like, GTA is angry. Saints Row is jubilant. You know?
Yes.
Like, Saints Row is mischief. You were an agent of mayhem. GTA would never say agent of anything.
Yeah.
No. And that's why
they
did
just trademark agent again. Yeah. So.
But it's a weird time because now it's like, well, we have like a not even just games that have learned from film and TV, but we literally have a South Park game. Like we have other irreverent properties that are able to be silly and that aren't like necessarily trying to be game equivalent of an Oscar.
I couldn't help watching the trailer. I thought the trailer was cool, the CG trailer, but I was like, oh man, this tonally feels like a little bit of Saints Row, a little bit of Crackdown, which we're presumably going to be getting later this year. And then, honestly, like, some of the characters reminded me of Overwatch, just in terms of, like...
A lot of people are looking at this and saying it looks like a hero. I was looking at the comments on, like, the Reddit post about it. Sorry about our players, guys. but no, like I think that a lot of people are also just like used to like Battleborn and Overwatch and all that.
Yeah,
like,
and, well, they're used to Overwatch,
right? I mean, they're used to the.
Oh, yeah. What? You didn't buy it? Don't get mad at me.
That is one of those things, like, at that one point there was like, oh, it's zombies and everything, or the World War II shooter. Right. It's like, the hero shooter is kind of a thing right now, so kind of expecting that and going in. I don't think that Saints Row has ever shown off well in trailers. Like,
I don't think so either, but the thing is, with this, like, we literally haven't even seen gameplay yet. We know it's a three-person single-player...
That's open world.
Well, you control three different characters.
Oh,
yeah, gotcha. And you can alternate between all of them. They all have their special skills and traits and attributes.
Oh, it's like Freedom Force.
And it works as in an open world. So I'm like, I'm trying to think about what I can compare this to. And
it would be like if in GTA 5, if all of your characters
were there at the same time, your other two
characters were behind you with like smart AI and that you could swap between.
What Vince said in his announcement article today was, it's like if you took the Suicide Squad and let them loose on a futuristic version of Seoul, South Korea.
Mm-hmm. Which sounds awesome.
As a sentence, it's like, what?
Yeah, exactly. But it sounds great.
They did say there's 12 characters total. Saints Row 4 pulled really heavily from Mass Effect 2, and that you had, like... I realized that face you made is just like...
It's like the vignette.
I'm trying to hear where this goes.
No, you had, like, you had this whole... you had your home base. You had your I don't forget what your ship was called. Earth got blown up or whatever, and you were in the Matrix. So you were kind of...
Oh, right.
And you had to go, and you could romance everything, including that weird robot. And it was... That was really funny. That it was just romance options.
Have you ever romanced the robot?
Yes.
Yeah?
Romance, like in real life?
Romance the robot, yeah.
Would you do a Pangasin and a robot?
I mean, no. Probably not.
Wow, you took 180.
Seems unsafe.
Like, what do we mean by robot?
Like, not a human, but a beep boop. Like a droid.
A beep
boop? Like metal and...
Would you hook it with a droid?
Yeah.
I don't think the technology is there yet.
Yeah.
Do you think...
I'm just picturing lots of 90-degree angles.
Where are you going?
Do you think, like, are there robot prostitutes in Star Wars?
Well, there's one in Shadows of the Empire, Prince Shizor's sort of...
E3 predictions.
Sorry. But seriously, her name is Guri. She's like one of the few like cyborgs.
So the gaming industry's biggest show is coming up next week, and
she can do like pleasure model stuff.
What we think will happen at the show.
I will add, why do you think C-3PO took that bath in A New Hope?
Because he had sand in his joints from wandering through the jungle and wastes, idiot.
Oh, yeah? How do you get all that jungle and waste inside him?
Because it wins.
Oh, yeah? Was that the name of that dude?
Wins?
Yeah, Windy hangs out at Tashi Station.
Mace Windu?
With Wormy and...
Anyway, so 37 minutes of this episode, we're going to get to the only reason that we're actually into the room.
Whatever, it's 1756. It's fine. I hate
none
this
of those
watch.
Is a real time.
It's going to be
E3 predictions.
Times.
Yeah.
Damn metric time.
So did each person come up with five?
Each person came up with five.
Except for Max. He can wing a fifth one.
No, I got a mystery one for the last one. Okay, also, I forgot to write
so,
it.
Yeah, play along at home and see how many we get right or wrong in a couple days.
So do you want to do 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2? Like, are we going to do
that? Oh, I can do that. Yeah,
we can do that. Max, you want to start?
Yeah.
Sure.
Max, that's you. Star Wars.
Okay, New Blood Dragon.
God, yes.
I know this sounds kind of crazy, but Dean Evans, Spleen Zillatron on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's a pal of mine, but I was kind of watching and waiting for him to do something on April Fool's this year. As we might know, Blood Dragon was announced as an April Fool's goof initially, and then it turned out to be real. He retweeted a few SoundCloud links from... Power Glove, who did the soundtrack for the first game.
Right.
And they all, like, they were all these, like, cool electro tracks that had these bizarre, like, for the kind of album art images, they had these weird kind of, like, Lisa Frank-looking neon, like, tiger print. And that's currently Dean's Twitter avatar, and we haven't heard anything else.
I mean,
so...
And but Blood like, Dragon was sort of a Far Cry 3 tie-in. Would this be a primal tie-in?
So that's what I think. I think, and to go with what Max said, there's a Easter egg in a cave hidden in Far Cry Primal where there's this dragon. Glowing purple skeleton of a dragon. And it's like so cool. It looks like a crate dragon from Star Wars. I 100% of that game. I platinum that game. It's the only game I platinum.
Primal?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it just got me at a good time where there's not
a weird dude.
Yeah.
He changed his name to Primal Altana.
It's also a really easy platinum. I mean, fairly easy. It's
Primal Altana?
You can stop now. Yeah. It's probably like 15 hours and you can platinum the entire thing. And it's just really fun. I love the setting. But one of the things that people were really disappointed about when they first announced that game was that there's no dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like they went into this. The setting that has all these prehistoric like bears and weird saber-toothed tigers and stuff like that. I know dinosaurs don't fit within that, but people like me who aren't history buffs take all that time period and just lodge it all together. Yeah. And you're like, well, if there's the old Jurassic plants, then there should be the raptor and the stegosaur and the triceratops. And so I want all of that. I want them.
So you want like creationist Far Cry Primal?
Yes. Yeah. I want the version where it's
I want like Lisa Frank's creationist Far Cry Primal.
Yes. Please. That would be so cool.
Go to soundcloud.com/powerglove because they have three tracks on there. One of them is called Boss Fight. One of them is called Punch It or something.
Yeah,
I'll punch it.
And they all feel like 90s video game soundtracks.
They sound
which is really
awesome.
Weird. If you put it this way, this would be so weird because Far Cry Primal used the same map as Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
So that was technically already Far Cry 4's Blood Dragon.
Right. So what are the odds?
If you remix that again. Yeah. And add lightning bolts and purple everywhere. I'm in.
But here's the thing is that, Blood Dragon was such a weird... it was such a far cry from Far Cry.
Yeah.
What are the odds it becomes its own IP, proper?
That'd be cool.
It gets a full-blown, hey, this worked. Our weird experiment was a success.
But I think that's what Far Cry is already doing, though.
Here's what I would want from a Blood Dragon. What if it wasn't Far Cry? What if it was a Blood Dragon for a different game? Like, there's no Assassin's Creed this year. What if it was an Assassin's Creed Blood Dragon? Or what if it was a different property
Next
from
Gen
Ubisoft?
Kid Chameleon.
Yeah, I mean, but seriously, what
That's
if it
took,
a different Ubisoft IP and gave it the Blood
Tom
Dragon?
Tom Clancy's thing? Blood Dragon.
I'm
totally in.
All right, Brian.
Easy one, but VR will compose the bulk of Sony's Q4 holiday first party focus in lieu of other things being delayed. I think they're going to really push on that, and I think it's going to show weird because if you haven't tried VR yet, which hopefully you'll get a chance to in the next few months, there's going to be a lot of demos that make things look like they're fascinating in first person, but really aren't unless you put it on. They're treating this thing like it's a product launch, like it's a console launch. They're going all in. I mean, it is a product launch, but they're treating this like... I was going to say the PlayStation 5, but we're also going to get another PlayStation between now and who knows when. So, I think that VR is going to be a major focus for them. And it's mostly because they just delivered their big first-party baby in terms of Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
And with Horizon delayed until February, I think this is going to be a main focus for them at the show.
Yeah, they are winning. They have a bigger install base. So much like last year when there wasn't, Uncharted got delayed, there were a lot of things that weren't last fall. Sony can do just fine on third parties.
Yes.
Because no matter how much Battlefield 1 leans towards Xbox and marketing, Call of Duty is leaning towards Sony. Battlefield will still probably be sold.
Yeah.
There will be more copies sold on PS4.
Let me ask you this. Remember last gen where it seemed like Sony at times had their backs against the wall and they were trying to come up with Sony's answer to blank. PlayStation's answer to blank.
The Halo killer or whatever.
Yeah, Killzone, Resistance were basically this is our Halo killer. This is our answer to Halo. Nowadays, they just call up Call of Duty and they're like, hey, just hang out with us first.
Yeah.
Get front and center with
us. Guys, I know we've been kind of casual for a while, but you want to get a little bit exclusive?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, which is
fascinating. But you can still sleep with every other console.
Of course. But I want you to start the night at my place.
Yeah.
Oh, that got so gross.
Yeah, there's also Sony released a blog post today with a bunch of confirmed games that are going to be at the show. Like, smaller things, but a bunch of them were VR. It's going to be the Psychonauts, the World, Rhombus of Ruin.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's going to be there. Thumper, Super Hypercube, a bunch of things we played before but are super cool. So,
I think we're going to see a lot of... I mean, this isn't a prediction, but I think it kind of piggy-tailing on that.
Woo!
I think we're going to see at least one instance of, download this app and check it out in VR for yourself using your phone and Google Cardboard. Something like that. Because there are enough whether you're on an Oculus Rift or I have one of those Mattel ViewMaster phone cases where you can watch porn on your phone.
Nice.
On your face.
Is that what you're doing at work?
No.
doing thick ropes?
No. When I go in that one, when I go in that one conference room,
yeah,
leave me alone.
What I do there's in there glass. Is
like aperture science.
Four of the walls are glass.
No, the bathroom.
Anyway,
but no, like I think they're gonna be like, hey, check out this, go to this address and check it out in 3D yourself. And like we have, like IGN has a VR channel. Like we have a 360 video channel, which is like
YouTube.com/IGNVR.
Yeah, and you can check out like tours of our office in 360 views, and it's like it's not quite VR, but if you have like the right VR view, I still don't know how that works exactly.
How do I?
But I think that to try to sell this, I think that Sony or somebody is going to be like, hey, check this thing out.
See,
you can do it yourself.
I don't know about that. I think that they're going with a lot of word of mouth on this one, and they're also going with a lot of they'll start doing. So I started reading about appointment based VR
word
demos.
Of mouth and disease of the eyes.
Yeah, I know that's the thing I said a half a minute ago.
No, not disease of the eyes.
No, so they're going to start doing. I've started reading about this at Best Buy. Basically, appointment based.
Yeah, they do that for Oculus.
For Oculus, and that's the only. So think about it this way: if you were like working on something for a very long time, would you want someone to see it in some sort of like half-assed version with Google Cardboard or with the weird ViewMaster porn thing you use in our secret conference room, or would you want them to go all in and actually try it the way it is, so that you could become an influencer and go tell all your friends,
Let me skip to my number four prediction then, which was that I think during the conference...
It's already falling apart. The whole system's
like,
falling apart.
This feels like a D&D campaign.
It's fine. Yeah.
I think,
all right, we'll roll the dice to see if my prediction is a success.
My character's father was a blacksmith, and he has a secret sword in his shoe.
That was my number four prediction.
No, cast delay.
Mine was that I think we'll see an actual full game for VR. Like this is a full, like, 30-hour experience on VR. Yeah. Not even a killer app. I don't even know what it will be, but I think it will be something that is not a tech demo. It is not a short experience. It is
something
this is a campaign
in line
that
with, like, Chronos or Edge of Nowhere.
Will it be exclusive?
I don't know.
Exclusive to PSVR?
I don't know if it'll be a new IP. I don't know, maybe it's Resident Evil. Maybe it's whatever. But I just think we will see something that is no longer a tech demo. It is the reason why you should spend $400 for this extra thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what we'll see because, to your point, I think everything we have right now is more of along the lines of what you're saying. It's like this cool thing that you want to share your friends for 5 minutes, but I don't think there's anything that you want to sit down and play for hours and hours and hours and hours with this thing on your head.
Well, you shouldn't. That's dangerous.
I mean, you mentioned Resident Evil. That's mine is that we're going to see the Resident Evil. It's not going to be 7. It's going to be called Resident Evil.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a complete reboot from the ground up, and it is going to be for both Xbox and PS4, but the PS4 version will have some sort of VR component to it.
Yeah.
That's going to be exclusive to PSVR.
I think
and whether it's a mode or a interactive film, I don't think it's just going to be put it on and you're playing the game, but it's VR. I think it's going to be a augmented part of the game, which I wouldn't be surprised if we see for a bunch of games going forward. If Horizon's going to have some sort of thing, dinosaur viewer in VR, or like, you know, be able to like dissect one of the dino robots.
So it'll be scenes in The Dark Knight were filmed in IMAX. Or
100%.
Something like that.
And that's exactly it. And that lines up with stuff. I mean, we'd heard that like the kitchen team might be working on it. Like Capcom has publicly said that like they want to lean into VR for that stuff. Like it would make sense to like take a Resident Evil game. Yes, you can play it on your regular PS4, do whatever you want,
but
if you have VR,
it's on your face.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Exactly.
Sorry, I said the S word. My bad.
Fine. You can say.
Oops.
Man, I'm so excited for all this. I'm also like, I think there's going to be a lot of moments in the Sony press conference where the PlayStation Nation, if you will, starts getting splintered and fragmented. Once you start saying this is going to go here, this is going to go there.
This one's on Neo.
No,
this one's VR only.
Yes.
This one's regular.
I mean, think they're going to do that. I feel like it's going to be. Think PlayStation Move. If PlayStation Move had come out when PS3 was on, if that had come out when PS3 was like if it was on top, if PS3 was number one, and they had the luxury of being like. Okay, so like, sorry, to do the flip side of the coin, like, they made Kinect support for Skyrim, where you could do dragon shouts at your TV, or you could say, sort by item weight, and it would do one thing that was the most, like, game-changing minimal shift.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it was like a mod on PC.
Yeah, if you have that, and there's just a little, like, watermark in the corner of your game box that says, hey, it's a, you know, this supports PlayStation Move. Or, I mean, look at, there's like, what, MotorStorm Apocalypse had like 3D support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A handful of games had that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, yeah, even Six Axis when the console
exactly,
launched,
yeah. Like stuff like that little, where they're not going to beat you over the head with it, and they're not going to like strip features, but it's, you know, it's, look at this with, I mean, it's the same mentality as like, oh, like, do you like weird AR stuff? Like, look at this with your phone with a QR viewer. And like, most people probably won't, but screw it. If it's there, give it a shot.
Totally. Matt, Brian, what's your next one? Oh, wait. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, Brian, what's your number two?
Did you have one? But
Matt, yeah, we all had one.
Okay,
we all had one. Yeah. Max is on
So just for the record, because we're all working on this doc together, it goes Brian, Marty, Max, and Andrew. So if it sounds like we're going completely out of order with cool predictions.
Yeah. So number two for me, and then we'll go to number two for Marty, Max, and Andrew, and we'll go around. Uncharted 4 DLC will not be dated.
Because it's going to be wearing a retainer.
Because it won't be there at all.
It won't be there.
You think it's going to be there, but it's not going to be there.
I don't even think it'll exist at the show.
I
think I think Uncharted 4 will be a, and they've earned this, but it'll be a like kind of quick sort of throwback to the old school E3s where people used to show sales data and charts and stuff like that. There'll be a moment of like, we're very proud of our team at Naughty Dog
and
for doing this.
3 million units.
We passed 3 million units, and
these are the charts.
Yeah. And the multiplayer roadmap continues through blah, blah. You know, maybe we'll get a look at something cool they added to Uncharted multiplayer. Probably not even, because I think at this point people know what that's all about.
Yeah.
I don't even see that hogging up time during the press conference.
Yeah.
I think Uncharted 4 will be like a very happy, very golden footnote throughout their at some point in their conference, and that's it. In terms of story DLC for Uncharted 4, not ready for it yet. They're going to be under the assumption, because this is such a long tail game, that most people haven't even gotten to it yet or haven't played it yet, and that this is going to be a system seller for a very long time. Yeah. Also,
this is going to come out next year.
Yeah.
And also, just for reference, The Last of Us came out on June 14th, 2013.
Yep.
The Left Behind, the single-player DLC, was announced, not even out, but announced on November 14th, 2013, which is
6 months.
5 months later?
Yeah.
So that would
maybe a PSX.
Do you know when it was released?
Well, or no, 5 months would be Paris Games Week. It would be
you think they're doing that again?
Interesting.
I mean, maybe.
Sony has a big presence there. They could skip Gamescom last year.
Yeah. But only once, right? So this is the year where it's either they return to Gamescom this year or
they
cement
double
themselves
down.
Like, hey,
do you know when Left Behind was released?
I can look.
Is why it's good for Andrew as his laptop here.
I know.
Because he's able to look up
quickies with Andrew.
May 12, 2015.
So a year.
So almost a full year, yeah.
Yeah, I can see this being like early summer next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, because I mean that's actually, if you think about it, if you put out that DLC in the next 3 months, you're only selling to the people who bought the game already.
Yeah,
no, that's a lie. February 13th, 2014.
Okay. Why'd you lie to us?
It's fine.
Because I love you.
Happy Valentine's
Day. You always get lie out to the one you
monster.
Love.
My second prediction is that we're going to get a tease for Bloodborne 2, and it is not going to be developed by FromSoft.
What?
And that this is going to be a Sony Japan Studios game.
Oh, man, I really hope not.
Sony owns the Bloodborne IP. I feel like Miyazaki and FromSoft want to distance themselves from Souls and Bloodborne and want to do something differently, and that Bloodborne sold so well that I think, Sony's going to continue.
So,
and Sony Japan Studios did help with the development of Bloodborne.
In the interest of transparency, at IGN, we watch the press conferences in a room with like 100 people.
Yes.
And I remember when the first time we saw that Bloodborne trailer, that was one of the most like haunting, deranged, chilling, like, this is grown-up Castlevania.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I wanted from that franchise. And if you miss it on the show, that was one of those games where like I played it, I gave up on it, I was about to leave it, and then I came back triumphantly and destroyed it.
Yeah, that's still one of my favorite moments from the show.
And I absolutely loved it. Oh my God, Andrew.
Drink your milk, you'll
Persona
grow big
got delayed.
And strong.
Wow.
That's what happens when Persona gets delayed.
I'm torn on that. I mean, I'm with you. I think we're going to get Bloodborne 2 no matter what, but I think your prediction is a little worrisome. I'd rather see From just...
I'm not doing...
Guys,
my predictions aren't
news.
All positives.
Uncharted is coming
Mine
to
are.
Phones with the Uncharted card collector.
That is not one of Max's.
Uncharted is on phones.
Yeah, sorry, not that. Bloodborne. My bad.
Baggleborn.
Sorry,
Max, what's your next one?
Injustice 2 or Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah.
And this will be revealed via... posters in the convention center, not on a press conference. Because
so do you think
WB always doubles down.
They're already
posters.
Doing it. Did you see the tweets?
Ed Boon.
Ed Boon's tweet?
No, he's being like
with the two.
Yeah,
he's being coy about
Ed Boon's current buddy icon on Twitter. It's not called that. yeah. It's just a large serif font white on a black background, either Roman numeral 2 or 11.
That's why I love that, because it can be
because
either.
It can be either, yeah.
What if it just, we do it, he comes out and he's like, Neversoft is here with a great announcement. And it just, it shows the 2 and it goes boom. And then it zooms out and it's the 2 is actually 2 L's in a, we'll be back next year with a better announcement.
Mortal Kombat!
It could also be, so it could be 11, it could be Injustice 2. Is there any world where it's Mortal Kombat versus DC 2?
No. Oh man!
I think this
because Injustice and because Mortal Kombat did so much better than
as much as I want my next one, but I think right now of all times DC is going to be more careful than that. And I think in a year where we already have Telltale Batman coming, where we have all these things like, or we assume, but like I think there's
Telltale Batman they announced is coming this summer.
Debuts
this summer.
So I think. I would be surprised if they did a DC.
I mean,
if
I would love a crossover because I want to see Kano rip out Zack Snyder's heart.
That's a joke's on you because Zack Snyder has no heart.
Hey, he's from Wisconsin.
So that ties into my next one.
That explains a lot.
My technical number one on this list, we'll call it number two, is that I think there will be a new Batman game revealed, but not an Arkham game. I think it will be more in line with the like Affleck BVS universe.
So outside of Telltale, outside of the Arkham franchise.
Yeah, probably. I don't think it'll be probably not Rocksteady yet, but I can see it being the Arkham Origins team.
Yeah,
I can see it being
Montreal,
like
WB
Montreal reveals a new Batman game that maybe isn't literally the Affleck Batman, but it's more in tone. In the same way that I think the...
So he's a gun?
Well, I think the Batman in Arkham...
He takes 2.5 hours of my life.
He's just a Punisher, but he's got a bat on his shirt.
I think the Batman in Arkham City and Arkham Asylum is very much the animated series Batman, but with a tiny twist of the Christopher Nolan Batman, I think you got just a little injection of that. And I can see them doing that here. I can see you getting a Batman that is closer to the Affleck Batman than...
So it would... You don't think it would be in the Arkham universe? Wow, interesting.
Batman, colon, whatever, but no Arkham.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
God,
I'm also really desperate for that. I would love to see something that maybe they cut down on development costs by not having a million like destroyable boxes and carbon fiber everything and having something that's cell shaded.
Yeah,
and draws from the Bruce Timm designs.
Can we side note with that and just say that we really want a Batman the Animated Series Arkham game?
But that's what we hope Telltale is. Like, we haven't seen that game yet, but we don't know.
That's not what I hope that is.
I would love to see the Batman Telltale game take a totally new art style and be something different. I don't want it to just look like The Walking Dead and be Batman.
And it will be, but I want what I want to see.
If that looks like David Mazzucchelli's like year one stuff, like,
oh my god,
is kind of what they've shown.
Or
with
even
teaser
like,
stuff.
Honestly, I would even be down for like a Frank Miller style Dark Knight Returns. Leaning
you mean
into
it
that.
Starts off with like really tight designs, and by the end of it, it's like an angry preschooler drew it.
I think that's all awesome. I have a feeling the Telltale thing is going to lean closer to the detective side of Batman and less the pow bam.
They also said it's almost split half and half. You play half the game as Bruce Wayne,
right? So there it is.
I mean, I think I'm
going to buy this hotel
for whatever this game.
Welcome home, Claudia Schiffer.
I do think we'll see a Batman game that does not have the Arkham name, and more importantly, the first game in whatever this new series is WB Montreal and not Rocksteady.
Right.
Because I think whatever Rocksteady is doing, they're ready to move on from Batman.
Okay.
All right.
Brian?
Last Guardian will get a date.
Mm-hmm. Unlike Uncharted DLC, which has retainer, Last Guardian is a varsity football player.
We will get an actual, real, honest day of the calendar year we live in.
So that's 2016?
2016. We will get a day in 2016. We will also get an announcement of a special edition collector's box with a bird dog statue.
Or an actual bird dog.
An actual bird dog.
What month do you think it's going to be in? Make a real prediction.
God, this
What's
is
the
tough.
Day? What's the day?
I want to say fall.
Yeah, it would be fall. Early or late, though? Are we talking September or are we talking November?
October.
I don't think it's going to be October. I think October is for PSVR.
I also think October is like a suicide month.
I think September. Okay.
I think it's going to come out on the day after Christmas.
You know what? I'll do. Yeah. You're saying September. I'll do November.
6 a.m. day after
Christmas. I would honestly. I mean, you're joking, but I would agree with like as late as possible. I think if it's 2016, this is like the Far Cry 3. This is like the... late as we can possibly get it out and still be in 2016.
Do you think like December
because
1st?
Horizon's Q1. So I don't think they want to push it to 2017. I think they will do whatever they can do in their power to get it out this year.
I don't think they want to push it to 2017 because it will be the biggest running joke in the gaming industry since Duke Nukem Forever.
But also, dude, no one, like, I'm excited for Last Guardian. I'm going to play that game. That is not a mainstream GTA-selling game.
No,
that
it's
is
not.
A game
no,
you do not put against... You don't put it against Battlefield and Call of Duty.
Exactly.
You put it out in its own month.
Yeah,
and
that's
why
the thing
makes
is that I think that it's one of those games that, like, the people who give it... Sorry.
That's fine. Yeah, you keep cussing. We've been
the
drinking for
a while.
The people who give a bird dog hoot, they're the ones who are going to pre-order it. That's a game for adults with pot cards and teenagers with aspirations of pot cards.
With friends who have pot cards.
Who own dogs and birds, maybe.
With older brothers
know.
Buying them booze.
But yeah, like,
that's actually a good prediction.
But
December.
Like, this is not a game that, you know, like... You're going to be like, oh, mom, I want this. Like, maybe you are, but, like, your mom's not going to see that on the shelf and be like, oh, that looks like something mm-hmm. that the kids would want. They're going to grab something with, like, a scruffy-looking white dude with a gun
yeah.
on the front.
Yeah. I mean, it's a niche. It's a big niche, but the people who, the hardcore people who care
I was
about
literally
the
about
Guardian,
to say, a big niche, a bitch! And I'm like, God, that's... I can say that. No, because it wasn't the swear.
Right.
No, I don't have to cuss it because it wasn't the swear. It
we
was
don't know if
B-I-C-G.
The bird dog is yeah. a male or female.
Anyway, I think the people who care about this game are very devoted and will buy it. And I think with the install base of PS4 in a world where like an Infamous game sold as well as it did,
but, I mean,
there are plenty of people who will buy this game, but it's not going to sell 65 million copies.
No, yeah,
like
cold
GTA.
Bucket of water
only,
to the face on this one.
50 million.
This game will never recoup its costs.
Yeah.
Ever. And it will never be, I don't even think it'll top the charts of the top three on NPD.
Yeah.
I just don't think it will.
No.
It's just not that kind
well,
of game.
If it's in December, maybe it will, but yeah.
Well,
yeah.
maybe it will in December.
No,
no, I think
we'll
even then you're going to
be talking about it in 10 years, though.
Do you guys think we get a... Last Guardian's been in development for a very long time. We saw some cool interactive stuff at TGS, that big wall that you can interact with.
I think
with.
It's
going to
be
a
PSVR.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you think there's a VR component?
Yeah. I think they're going to show that there's a PSVR thing where you can sort of play with Bird Dog a little bit.
I think 100% this game runs in PSVR.
Yeah,
totally. And I think it's actually probably going to be a really great game for that because it seems a little more like slow and methodical in terms of instead of just being like, I think a lot of people want first person shooters in PSVR, but I kind of want a game like this. Like,
yeah, I want something slow. And I mean, I want not specifically The Witness, but the feeling of The Witness where it's very quiet and peaceful and at your own pace. I want that.
And a bunch of bridges are getting all screwed up by that old
a bunch
bird
of sad statues rising out of the water.
People are really underestimating the appreciation of like of what VR is like when you're controlling the camera.
Yep.
Not like first person is actually really awful because
nauseous.
I mean, it hasn't been done right yet, but if you're just, you know, if you're moving your head around and you're
like
able to like
subtle VR.
Yeah. Like, and it just, it adds to, it's like you're watching toys move around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Totally.
And if you look at this team's last few games, camera control has almost always been a very secondary aspect to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, even like, the thing that strikes me when I go back, and I know Jose, who works with us, listen to NBC, has recently been playing Shadow of the Colossus. And that's a game that, no matter what, like, no matter what it looks like now, like, there was the PS3 remaster, but, like, obviously it's dated a little bit, but that game's sense of scale.
A lot of people are dating.
That game's sense of scale and scope
it's on the
is
flag
incredible.
Team. It
I would,
and
I would argue
love
that
to
it's,
see,
it's still almost unmatched in many ways.
Yeah, I think, honestly, weirdly, the closest thing is God of War. I think God of War is the only other game that's given me that feeling of, like, holy crap. Like, when you're, like, climbing Gaia at the beginning of God of War 3, like, that is a game that gets that sense. I would love to see Last Guardian have anything like that that gives me that feeling of, like, oh, my God, like, this is not, like, something I've played before.
Yeah, I mean, I would absolutely love that. Especially you sort of mix in that the element of, like, the greatest stuff in Uncharted 4 were the, like, scaling that clock tower or something like that.
Totally, yeah.
And then as
like
it all starts falling
got, like,
apart.
Gravel in his ass.
That was good.
That's
very
gravel.
Good.
Speaking of games that have been in development 10 years, I think Final Fantasy 15 is going to have a huge showing at E3. That was weird.
That was the
that
lamest
was
thing
weird.
I've
seen. Weird. But
I know both of you have had sex.
But what's the bad news?
I don't know that for sure.
What's the bad news?
Definitely don't believe
I think
it anymore.
That will be the only of Square's big three RPGs that will be there. I think we will
and
not
really?
See a peep
really?
From Kingdom
FF,
Hearts,
so are you
and I don't
joking?
Think we'll get a peep.
They just announced they're doing an HD version of Final Fantasy
II. I don't well,
but again, they just announced it. So it wasn't on stage. Like, they did it now because it won't
I think
be
they're
on stage
going all in on 15, which is coming out in 2 months, and I don't think we're going to see anything at the show from 7 remaster, 7 remake, or Kingdom Hearts 3.
I totally
maybe 12.
Agree.
Like, we might be able to see 12.
Nothing from 7, even though it was there last year.
Because why would they, right? Like, they're launching their biggest game their most important game in a very long time is launching. Not even just like, it's not like it's announced, not like it's far away. It launches in September.
It's the most important game
3 months away.
Probably 10 years.
So you're of the mind that putting out so many Final Fantasy things at the same time, or at least all that, is sort of crowding the conversation.
Yeah, because think about it, right? They are, as it is, they have Brave Exvius, which is their mobile game, World of Final Fantasy. Like, there's no dearth of Final Fantasy games. There are a ton of things in that world. Dirge of Cerberus.
Did you say dearth?
Yeah, I did.
Like, what is that?
Old Darth McGurth?
Like, there's no lack of Final Fantasy games. Like, there are plenty of things going on.
Darth or Darth?
Derek?
Derek.
Darth?
Fred Durf?
That's one of those words like naive. I never know how to say it.
There's no lack of Final Fantasy games right now. Right. Like, it's not like they need the brand recognition.
So, Marty,
I think with Final Fantasy VII, and especially with Kingdom Hearts, I definitely don't think you see Kingdom Hearts because that's a distraction.
But like, that's a totally different franchise. That's like a...
Yeah, but it's this crossover
audience. Everyone who's going to play one of them is going to play the other one.
Exactly.
I guess you're right.
Dude, I completely hear where you're coming from, but I think that we're going to see a few sprinklings of other Square Enix things. You know,
like, but they don't have a conference this year.
Yeah. I think
granted, all their stuff last year was during Sony.
I think it would be 12, like, if they've already confirmed 12 is at E3, 12 remaster, or 12 is Zodiac Age is at E3. We can play it. We can see it.
God, I'm so stoked for that.
But I do think I agree with you. I think 15 is their big push. And then once it's out, like, think about the timing, right? When that game is basically done and close to being launched, you're hitting Gamescom, you're hitting Paris Games Week, you're hitting PSX.
Uh-huh.
That's when you push. Exactly. That's when you push Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Whichever one's first.
What if they announce that people who pre-order Final Fantasy 15 get access to FF7 stuff early?
I think they would have already. Don't forget, dude, the big pre-order push for 15 is done.
But that would be huge. Like, what if the 15 pre-order thing is, like, you get whatever 7's Dusk Guy is?
Maybe.
This guy.
All right, Max, your turn. Sorry. No, I'm not trying to...
Hideo Kojima is going to make an appearance to thunderous applause.
Yep.
Whether or not he comes out to say, hi, I think a PlayStation 4 is a real cool box.
I was so angry you wrote this because I was going to write this.
Yeah. Mm. I think he's going to reveal a logo or name for the first project, probably featuring Ludens, the cough drop maker, Space Knight, Skeleton Man.
Mm-hmm. We got a new picture of him today.
Yep.
I mean, the fact
that... friends at GameStop.
What does he say? The new... What is it? I'm still coming?
Still coming. Yeah.
Y'all still coming?
That's a weird tagline.
Really weird.
Yeah.
Please just stop high-fiving awkwardly across the desk.
This is what happens when we don't have a girl on the show.
I agree with you. I think I think it is time for this, but I love the way you phrased it because we're not going to get, like, anyone who thinks there's going to be like a 2-minute gameplay trailer or something is crazy. Game has probably barely started.
He went shopping for an engine a month and a half ago.
Exactly.
Like, it's not running on anything yet.
But the way you phrase this, a title, a logo,
I think that's really solid. That's
exactly
a really good.
Right. Yeah. I think. Would you say it's solid?
Metal Gear Solid.
I don't got to write down.
Can't call it that.
Can I flip people off on the podcast?
Is that I do not think we will see.
Okay.
I think you will hear literally no mention of Vita at all. Indies. I think there will be games that are announced that in the PlayStation blog post an hour later, you'll find out it's coming to Vita.
No one will say the word Vita.
I do not think you will see a Vita logo.
Gio Corsi will not say the word Vita. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
You monster.
Really?
I would love... This is what I want to be wrong on. I want 30 Vita games.
I want Adam Boyce to come out in the last 2 seconds and just be like... Vita.
He's like, Vita, screw you, Goldfarb. I think, honestly, like, again, I would love to be wrong, I really don't think
I
in
love
a
that
year
guy.
Where the PS4 has 40 million units sold, they're going to launch PS 4.5 or Neo or whatever and VR, I do not think they waste a second.
Do you remember how many
Vita.
Vitas were on the show floor last year?
Two.
I think they were like, it was like, less than three, right?
They were like at the Atlas booth.
If you're talking about show floor, they were at the Atlas booth.
But none were at the Sony booth, were they?
No.
No. Yeah. I mean, there might have been a couple, but honestly, I think...
I don't mean like one that some dude brought in.
Yeah. I think the point being that, like, I really don't think it is... Like, I love the Vita. It's my favorite system. There's no world where
what
I see
Super
them
Nintendo?
Having the time to dedicate to
also,
it.
Oh, also, fun fact, I just saw this in Kotaku. Shout out to those fine folks over there. You can get a refurbished Vita for... $100.
Yep.
So if you were on the fence, jump on that.
Get that. Buy Persona 4 Golden.
Yeah.
Tweet
get
at me
that.
At
get
Garth
that,
Amp.
And then get play. Wait, if you have PlayStation Plus,
PlayStation Plus, how am I? Just go. Screw
like Gravity Rush
it.
One.
I'm sorry. The bad news is though, like, all the PlayStation 3 memory cards still cost more than refurbished.
Yeah, hey, get ready.
Yeah, we're good.
Dad, I'm so sick of that. I have a PSTV, and I went to buy a memory card for it, and it's got to be a Vita memory card that goes into it, and there's still $65. It's been like 40 years since that thing came out. What is your problem? What is inside those things? Get it together. Why there's no third parties for it either? No one's just making a bootleg ass. I will go to China for cheaper than it costs to get a PlayStation memory card for my Vita.
What if they came out and they were like, proud to announce that the Vita is the most profitable Sony product ever. I mean, because our memory cards were so damn overpriced.
I'm going to move away from the microphone and eat a pretzel, and it won't be as offensive as the thing
I just
yelled.
It's like a weird Wetzel's remix of a Tay Zonday song.
Yeah, I ate an apple on the microphone.
Well, it's good that it's, we ate ham on the microphone.
Who's on what next?
It's on
Brian.
We're on Brian.
Why don't we skip Brian because he's eating a pretzel?
No, this is a really good
Brian number four.
Man, that's like a saltine challenge. This is a really good one.
I love this one.
Sucker Punch's new game will be teased.
This was my other one I wanted to steal.
Yes, because and it has a retainer.
Is it Spider-Man?
Stop talking about the retainer.
It's not Spider-Man.
Okay.
What is
definitely,
it Infamous?
I do not think it's Spider-Man.
New IP?
I'm going to say new IP. I don't think it's another Infamous.
Is it Sly Cooper that they teased forever ago that never came out?
Brief history. We haven't seen anything from these guys since A, the launch of the PS4 with Second Son.
We saw First Light.
And then we saw First Light a couple months later. Or what was it, like a year later?
Well, no. I mean, Infamous wasn't a launch game. It was a couple months later.
Right.
It was a February
launch window, as we call it. These guys are long overdue to show us what they're working on, unless they're just not doing anything, in which, what's going on? I kind of want to know about that. Like, in the same way I want to know what the hell they did the last Guardian studio for the last 10 years, mm-hmm. like most day-to-day activity, they were just kind of, you know, playing bocce ball in the courtyard or whatever.
They're bocce?
But no.
Goofing?
I loved Infamous Second Son. I really, really love that game. Traversal in that game is sort of still unmatched for a open world third person game.
That game feels so good.
Like, it's just so cool. It just, and it's like, it's stupidly easy to just run up a wall. You don't have to think about it. But it's so much fun. I will say that, did you play Second Son? Because I played First Light. Okay. I will say that Second Son does the running up the wall stuff better than Saints Row 4 did.
Wow. It also makes you feel when you get each new power.
Yep.
Like, honestly, this is probably going to sound like hyperbole, but I think that is the most significant each new power has felt for me since, like, a Mega Man game. Like, honestly, like, that is when you get each of the new powers in that game, it feels so game-changing, and it opens so many things to you that it's, like, so, like, they're, like, honestly, I probably overall like Infamous 2 better than Second Son, but I do think Second Son makes you appreciate every element that you have and everything you can do more so.
And I love so much of Second Son. I thought Troy Baker was fantastic. I thought the Seattle setting was really cool. I thought the whole sort of, like, dystopian police force trying to take you down was really awesome.
And like, obviously, like, I think that's that world where, like, it worked for me in such a good way. I love the Infamous universe. Like,
me too.
I never say this because, like, with Guerrilla, I'm so excited they're doing Horizon. I'm so excited they're moving on from Killzone. With Sucker Punch, I want them to make more Infamous because I love that universe. And I think I cared so much about Cole. I cared so much about Infamous 1 and 2. In the same way I do care about Delson, like, I want more Infamous. I would really love to see them go hard and make us care about that world. So now there are 40 million PS4s out there.
The Spider-Man rumors.
Let it be a popular franchise.
What do we do with those? Because weren't they kind of squashed today?
What do you mean today?
I read something about how a different team was working on a new Spider-Man game today.
So last time we talked about this, I got very corrected because while I was at Gearbox not paying attention to news, we found out that Activision did lose the rights, which apparently reverted back to Sony. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I would love to see someone make a cool Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
I think
that is. I'm sorry. That is a tangled web of rights.
Yes,
it really is.
Get a high five on the
six really high fives.
But I think it ultimately comes back to Sony, doesn't it? In some weird way.
Only if it's Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh God,
that was amazing. That was amazing.
Aunt May is hot now. Sorry. But no, really. Like it's amazing that, like, you've got Marvel, you've got Activision, you've got Sony, you've got Disney. There's all these different players in the game, and it's like,
and everyone's kind of playing keep away with each other.
Who,
in some
who
ways,
can make a Spider-Man video game.
In some ways, I would love a Sucker Punch. In some ways, I'd love a Sucker Punch Spider-Man because some of my favorite video game memories of all time are the 3D open world Spider-Man games.
2 is incredible.
It's so good.
Spider-Man,
so
Spider-Man 2 is probably still arguably the best open world game.
Yeah. I went to, I was in New York recently and I went to Roosevelt Island specifically because it looked cool and you can get there on like a weird air trolley, which is so un-New York City. But also because like, I had memories of going there in that game.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're whipping along the Queensboro Bridge and all of a sudden you're there. On the flip side, Spider-Man's powers are pretty weak compared to anything that any of the protagonists have ever done in the Infamous games. Like, yeah, but you can fly around, you can hang people on webs and stuff like that. But
what
like,
if that's the challenge, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
What if
yeah,
halfway if through the game you get the black costume, you know?
Oh, either way, if my prediction's true, we get a new Sucker Punch game at
E3. Yeah.
Totally, that works.
Mine's a quickie. I think Shadow of Mordor 2 is going to be revealed.
It's not called Shadow of Mordor 2. It's called Middle-Earth 2.
Max, you're a nerd.
It's Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor.
Hey, Max, what's your next one?
I want to point that out. Like, that's good. That's good news.
I think they're going to expand. And I think
Grant Theft Auto was called, like, San Andreas Grand Theft Auto.
Are you actualing him on some like Tolkien nonsense right now that
it's
I don't understand?
Tolkien, it's WB branding. It's
but anyone who goes to the store is not going to understand what that is. They just want to see Shadow of Mordor 2 because that first one sold a lot.
Right, but I think they're going to say Middle-earth Shadow of Hobbiton.
What are they going to do with all the people that fall asleep in the store reading that title?
I hope it's like a Dance Central, but it's all just Tom Bombadil dancing to the songs.
I can totally get behind that.
Okay.
Hey, Max, number 4.
Yeah, we're out. No, the one thing
this
I'm
is
worried
like
about.
Seriously, one of my favorite episodes in a while.
Really good.
I'm having such a good time.
It turns out when we drink,
it helps
great.
That we're having a delicious cup of milk.
All that milk.
The only thing I'm worried about is the camera really literally running out of.
Yeah.
Oh,
the camera's been going for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an hour 15.
I predict that somebody is wearing a Crash Bandicoot shoot.
I mean, you say somebody. It'll
Crash
be Sean Layden.
Bandicoot shirt like an asshole.
Yeah.
Did you say shoot like he's going to go?
Press.
They're
going to
kill an animal on stage?
You can't make me go from talking about Tom Bombadil with Marielle Dolan
so
saying
look,
Crash Bandicoot.
Max, honestly, for years, games were revealed at E3 through very strange ways, such as Peter Moore pulling up his sleeve and showing a tattoo.
Yeah.
And if somebody comes on stage,
point of the N-gage,
somebody comes on stage,
taking off her shirt.
Yep. If somebody comes on stage with a backpack and they pull a ripcord and a Crash Bandicoot shoot,
that'd be awesome.
I'm totally in.
I think honestly, like given what happened in Uncharted, I hope that was a very subtle tease, but we'll see.
But if I would love that tease, if the same thing happens at Microsoft with Battletoads, I'm literally going to murder everyone in the IGN war room. So
why would you do that? Why would you kill a bunch of people that also want to play
Marty
that game?
Marty loves Battletoads. Marty loves.
You don't want to play Battletoads.
I'm morbidly
Rocky
curious.
Loves Emily.
My next one. I think that
Three
no
ninjas.
Matter what, I think we will see at least one game or demo that is available now for you to play at home. I think that the Battlefield Hardline demo was really smart that you could that day play it at home. I think what was that game? The two birds.
Oh
that
yeah,
were opposite colors.
Some of an E.
Yeah, I think like when they do that stuff, it's awesome, and I think like. The fact that this year E3 Live was announced, which is a public event, I think Nintendo is doing a lot of smart stuff with letting people come to E3 or play from New York. Like, I think they want, at this point, look, like E3 gets it, and I think like a lot, or Sony and Microsoft get it, and they want people to be able to experience this week from home.
Yeah, smart.
I think it would make perfect sense for people to be able to play a big new demo from home, and I think that's something we'll see more and more often. Sony especially understands that, so I think we'll see at least one game that like you at home get to play during the week of
E3. Yeah. And, which is a lot better than just being like Entwined available
that was
now.
Entwined.
Yeah. That was was that the one you were talking about?
Entwined, yeah. It was Entwined and it was that same year it was Entwined and then
and
at Gamescom we got PT.
No, and it
and then
at that same E3 it was the Dead Rising Super Hyper Ultra Weird Thing.
Yes. And
so,
the Battlefield Hardline.
One of my post E3 rituals is to get home and start downloading all the games that were available right now that I couldn't play.
Yeah, because we're all working.
One of them was that. Poor
baby. Wow.
Wah. But I remember like the Friday morning of E3 waking up and downloading
baby.
Entwined and just being like, oh, I understand why this game didn't have a pre-release cycle or hype behind it at all.
No,
it's not good.
It's the smartest thing in the world because it's like the free T-shirt for people who were there, but it's like it's effectively digital swag.
Who up next?
Max, your last prediction.
My last prediction
of the year.
My blank.
Your
prediction.
Ultimate prediction.
I think we're gonna get something stunning from Rockstar. I don't know if it's going to be Red Dead 2. I feel like everyone's expecting Red Dead 2, but...
He's going to break his neck.
Goldfarb is whipping his hair back and forth so hard his head might fall off.
Former Take-Two employee is making some kind of weird palsy gesture. I don't know. <going right.
laughs> Our figure box was not owned by Take-Two or 2K.
What?
They're not owned by Take-Two or 2K.
Yeah.
Aren't they distributed by them?
Their games are many of their games are published by Take-Two.
Okay, point is, Take-Two...
We're going to silently munch pretzels in the corner as this debate goes down.
I think one of the biggest giveaways a week before E3 is trademarks, and the fact that Take-Two just re-upped the trademark for Agent means we're going to see something. Maybe.
I think we see nothing from Rockstar at E3.
Really?
Yep.
No Red Dead, nothing. Not even a teaser. Nope.
Okay,
that's not my last prediction, but yeah.
What about Red Dead Remastered or something like that?
I think Rockstar is too big. I think honestly, like even the Sony Stage D3 is too small for them.
Okay. I think you're wrong.
They are a company that does not want to be drowned out by anyone else, and I think why, like, if you're Rockstar, why bother during E3 week when Zelda and like ReCore and Halo Wars 2 and
not
whatever
ReCore.
Else it is. No, I mean, seriously, though. Like, why are you competing against other first-parties?
No,
parties?
I'm totally with you. I just love the idea of them being like, so we have a new GTA, but we don't want ReCore to take.
I'm excited for ReCore, but
Inafune is going to deliver his third undelivered game in 7 years.
That's the perfect point. Like, if you were a rock star...
We got to stay clear of this one.
Why compete with that, right? Like, sure. Why bother? And so no. I think Red Dead... Maybe. I'm not even ruling out the fact that it could be 2017 or 2016 even, but if you're going to do it yourself. Like,
yes.
Don't do it during the week of the busiest video game conference.
Historically, they don't really care about that convention. They just don't show up. They don't need to.
Yeah. I mean, except for 2 years ago when they announced that GTA was coming to PS4 and next gen.
And Peter Moore's rolled up his sleeves for GTA release dates and for DLC and stuff.
Years ago, though. Like, the landscape is
changing. That is not... GTA, that's the thing. Like, GTA can do that, Red Dead can't.
But that's exactly the point, right? GTA can come out during E3 and be big enough that it drowns out everything else. Red Dead can't.
No.
Red Dead can get lost in the shuffle.
Yes.
Because if there are 5 new IPs from Microsoft and Nintendo and everybody else, like...
What if they announce...
All right, there's not going to be any new IPs from Nintendo.
What if they announce Liberty City DLC for GTA 5?
That'd be cool.
There was a screenshot floating around that apparently looked like that.
Yeah, there was that long rumored story DLC stuff they might add. I think I'm with Andrew in that I'm not entirely sure that'll be a thing at E3. But like we said before, pragmatism is very important.
I don't think it's a matter of Rockstar being like, should we throw our hat in the ring? And more like publishers, or not publishers, like a... Microsoft or Sony or whoever being like,
here's
hey,
all the money.
For the love of God, please come to our conference.
Right.
Yeah. Come to our house party.
Yep. We care really, about our lineup.
Yep.
We're having a homecoming party. And we just really would love it if you'd show up.
Man, we're talking a lot about people making loves during high school.
Okay. I think that might be the worst noise ever recorded on this show.
And we ate ham. We ate ham like 2 months ago.
That sounded like a whale eating its daughter. That was probably the...
I was going to go with a whale dying.
And that was so bad.
Oh, whale. It sounded like Free Willy the director's cut.
Who's up next? I'm glad you didn't drop dead, because I just...
Brian, you go. You give your last
This one. Is my fifth and final prediction, and it's a really f***ing big one. It's a two-part prediction. It's... Ready? God of War 4, or God of War PS4, and... Wait for it.
It's good you did that in the microphone.
Knack 2
will be revealed at E3. During the conference, we will get a brand new next-gen God of War.
Knack-gen?
God of War, I'm with you on. Knack 2.
Don't knack it till you try it.
Yep. Don't knack the hustle.
Yeah.
So here's the thing with knack. I think if there is another
hard
knack
life.
If there is another knack, it is
knack
like
action.
Mark Cerny is a guy
knack
that
with attitude.
Does have the clout to fight for another... Like, of everyone, it's like when you guys let me talk about Persona on this show.
Yeah.
Like, it is like someone who is high enough up that, like, you'll let him have his little sad project.
Yep.
I think that, like, I get it. And I think, like, he's someone who, if he really cares enough about that franchise, he could push through a sequel to Knack 2. Because Mark Cerny, for anyone who's not aware, despite being lead on Knack 2, or on Knack 1, rather, is also the chief architect of the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
So he's somebody who pushed through that platformer because he intimately understood.
Also,
the
didn't
of
that
the
PS4. Didn't that dude create Qbert?
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah. Mark is like Mark Cerny's been around forever.
I
like,
his wife is Marble Madness.
He comes to the arcade era. Like he gets it.
Yeah.
If Knack 2 comes, it would be because it's something he believes in so much. I do, like, despite everything you think of Knack, everything that doesn't make it, like, even close to a notable launch title, technically, it was cool. Like, it did a lot of smart
things. I could have that Assassin's Creed 2 thing where it's like, hey, a second one could make this
well,
better.
This is, so this is why I put this on the list, because Knack was a...
Who's there?
It's a definitive 6.5 game. Probably even a 6. 6, mm-hmm. 6.5 range, right? Not great. Not even good. It's an okay game. It's a launch game.
I would call it good.
It's a launch game that sold more copies than Super Mario 3D World, despite being a incredibly reached from the fathoms of space inferior platforming game. Just a nowhere near the way the quality that game had. But great tech demo. Good attitude. Like, you know, it was a fun, cool, interesting game.
I do not regret playing through that game.
Me neither. Me neither. As much as I was allowed to play before,
the
it physically
IGN
broke
score
on me.
Is 5.9.
Okay. Well, you know, so I'm hovering right underneath the average at the okay range. What's 5.9 on your scale?
Average.
Pretty meh.
I think you're insane. We're absolutely not seeing Knack 2. That's
what?
Another thing. We're never
no,
seeing
you're
Knack
crazy.
Again.
We're
never seeing Knack again. I totally agree with you, though. God of War, I think, will be revealed. Uh-huh. I think it will be Norse, and I think it will come out this year.
You say Norse?
Norse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I say it wrong?
I'm going to slowly claw at these parts of this back.
You little monster.
Yes, 100%.
Norse case scenario.
So Norse, and I think that's their one of their big fall game. But that's not my final prediction. My final prediction, which I erased because it was a God of War thing, is that we're finally going to see Sony Ben's game. Which has been a prediction on this podcast for 4 years.
I love you, Colin. And you have said this since 2012. I would love to see Sony Ben really lean into either a fully next-gen reboot of Siphon Filter or smart new IP. I still don't think we'll see it. I think Sony Ben's game gets revealed at PSX.
Eric.
Siphon Filter has been gone so long.
Eric Jensen, we love you so much.
Yes, we do.
Still don't think we'll see your game.
Siphon Filter has been gone for so long that if it comes back, everyone will be sitting in the room like...
It's as though it's a new IP. Yeah. And I mean, so there have been...
what is called Gabe Logan's Run.
Yes, exactly. There have been rumors about what their game is.
His name is Gabe Logan.
Damn it, Marty.
Logan's Run was a film. What are you doing? Are you
there have been rumors about what that game is. Shinobi,
why are you Googling stuff at this point?
Because Shinobi, who's a big NeoGAF guy, said it's called Dead Don't Ride, which is a zombie
like post-apocalyptic
biker game.
Zombie biker
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. And I mean, like, great. If it's that, awesome. Like, I want to see what Sony Ben is doing.
Ride to Hell Retribution, Undead Nightmare.
They're a very talented studio that, aside from Siphon Filter, made Uncharted Golden Abyss, which I personally think is better than Uncharted 1. Like, they took a franchise that was
I would say a lot of people side with you on that, including most of the people in this room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, like, that's a game that they took an established IP and they made something very smart out of it. And they made something that fit... Yes, it was the launch of console. So, yeah, you had to hold up to the light. And you
it
had
was
to
gimmicky with a lot of, like, look what the Vita can do.
That designed to just make an Antiques Roadshow game where you're just like, well, it's a Tiffany lamp, but I better rotate it around and dust it off to find
but
out
that's
for
the thing,
sure.
Like, yes, like every other launch that has a gimmick, it had to lean into the capabilities of that console, but also it was a fun game. It was longer than... A lot of Uncharted games.
You know what? Like, everything's not about... Like,
also, Max, Tiffany Lamp was killed in the first Uncharted game.
So, yeah, his mate's first girlfriend. I think Sony Ben's game, being D3, like, it's time. I think we haven't seen anything from them in a while. I think that makes sense.
All right. Your last
it's funny
one.
You joke there because there's a Bond girl named Tiffany Case. Who's
really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
No, it's not.
My final prediction
easily
is
amused.
That
so Neiman Marcus sofa.
I do think the rumors are true about PS4 or 5 or Neo or whatever you call it. I do think it's mentioned in D3, but I think Sony is smart. They've learned a lot. They were in second place for most of last gen. I think they understand now being far in the lead. I think they understand what consumers want.
Yes.
And so I think you do see PS4.5 or Neo or whatever at E3, but I think they're very smart and also offer a very smart upgrade plan for current PS4 owners. And so I think what you'll see at E3 is the processing box that comes with PSVR. I think you will see some version of that that you can buy as a separate peripheral that will turn your current PS4 into essentially Neo.
Yeah.
That will give it new power, new capabilities, new whatever.
New responsibility.
Yeah, and it's like obviously much like the comparison I use is the new 3DS XL.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like basically like if you buy the new 3DS XL, it has built-in NFC. It has the second analog stick. It has things you can buy. But if you have an old 3DS, you can still get like the cradle.
You can
still
get Frankenstein it together.
NFC thing. Yeah, you can Frankenstein together, exactly. This kind of version that builds into the new thing. And I think Sony is smart enough to get it that 40 million PS4s are out there, so people will be able to upgrade their existing console.
I like it.
I like that a lot, actually. Yeah. I mean,
I feel like that's the smartest way to market it. And yeah. The smartest way to like not piss
to
off
not
people.
Make people angry. Exactly.
It won't be pretty.
No.
But it'll get the job done.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you want something pretty, buy the Neo. Buy the 4.5.
Sure.
Yeah.
We went in the group and asked for rapid-fire questions. We want to run through any of those real quick?
Yeah. Let's just talk about it. This might stop recording at some point, which is totally fine. But if it does, if the episode just ends, it ends.
Yeah. Rapid-fire. Go to the Facebook group, Podcast Beyond. You know the drill by now. Mario Piacquadi. Hold on, I'm going to do this right. Mario Piacquadio says, I'm also going to E3. Hope I can meet you. Now to the question, since this year I'm going to my first E3, I'm wondering, what was all of your guys' first E3 experience, and are there any cool stories from them? Goldfarb, let's start with you, because I know yours is special.
This is my 10th E3. My first one was E3 2004. I went as a high school student. I was 17. My mom insisted on flying out with me. And yeah, E3 2004 was an incredible year. Like, it was the reveal of the PSP, the DS, the... like, it was before we saw PS3. It was before we saw 360. It was a very weird year, but I'm super happy to have gone. And I think that year was, I don't know, it led to me being here. And it made me want to be involved in the game industry. So, I don't know, I am happy to have been there.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
I hope this E3 is exciting and that Neo is a cool new thing people care about, or Scorpio with Xbox One. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope like people care about what they're seeing.
Cool.
E3 is really awesome. I kind of don't understand the cynicism that goes behind it. I understand that you can get miserable planning it and stuff like that working in the industry, but the people who get there and hate being there the entire time, like, get the fuck out of here, honestly. Yeah. Like, seriously, like, give up your spot on the island for somebody who's happy to be there. Because I mean, a finite amount of people get to enjoy it. So if you're there and you hate it, just leave.
I mean, you started a new job and went to E3, right?
Yeah, this E3 2009 was my first day actually physically working in the company of IGN. And I showed up being like, oh, I'm going to get to do some funny, cool videos and articles and stuff like that. And they're like, no, you're going to see Sega to check out Alien vs. Predator.
Yep.
Like, that was my first day. What was the name of that game? Was it just Alien vs. Predator? The game where you could play as aliens and predators and marines.
I mean, the movie was called that, so probably.
No, it was Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah. So, I dove right in, and I had no idea what I was doing. My crappy phone had no, like, good Wi-Fi in there. You're coordinating in a sea of people and problems and sounds, and you're eating, whatever you can eat, and you're getting through it.
And that was the weird thing. Like, when I think it was the year after, 2005, they were, like, confiscating camera phones because, like, it became... Like, you had to register a media pass to have those because it became...
Wow, that's so dumb. That's
like, that you could take pictures, and it was, like, a very... It was, like, a new frontier. It was a new world that, like, the fact that you could take pictures with something in your pocket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My first E3 was 2011, which is awesome because I got to see Skyrim. I got to see Prey 2. I'm really glad that game came out, and I got to play a whole lot of it. I don't know. It was incredible. It was completely overwhelmed the whole time.
Your first E3 is always overwhelming.
I would say if you want to learn more about E3 experiences, tune in for the Up at Noon E3 Spectacular, which is happening this Sunday.
Oh yeah,
live.
God.
At 4 p.m. Pacific time on IGN and all our various...
Yeah, we assembled cool this like crack team of just amazing guests. I don't even want to say anybody's name.
Don't say anyone's name, but it's
a lot of people.
People
might like,
people, yeah. people like.
It's not Greg and Colin. We tried. They're not coming in to LA until Monday night. Yeah. But yeah. You know,
but we love also, them. Hey, it's everybody. I gave over Greg and no taxation.
Yeah, please too.
But also, just to let you know, next week's episode, we're probably going to record two, but one of them is going to be the pre and post show for the Sony conference. Which
yes.
Sony conference is at 6 on Monday night.
6 p.m. Pacific.
Pre-show, yeah, 6 p.m. Pacific. So the pre-show will start at 5:30. The post-show will probably start at 7:30 or whatever it ends.
And I might be honest, I'll be very busy.
Andrew will be very busy doing news, but it'll be Max Altano, Alana, and I.
Yep, might be my favorite hour of the year.
It's going to be so much fun.
I love
I mean, Monday is the best day of the year.
Why have you come on at the end of the post-show?
I'll be on the post-show, yeah.
I'm going to skip the next one.
And we'll also try to do another drunk one at
E3. Eric Gerson says, what's the most optimistic pie-in-the-sky E3 announcement you were praying for? So aside from all of the very measured predictions we made, the one that's just like, this will never happen in a million years, but this is utopia for
Neo
you.
Neo is free to every existing PS4.
Perfect. Marty?
Ukulele is actually Banjo 3.
Max?
Duke Nukem is back, and he's better than ever, and...
Brian?
Brian says there's one console. It's called the One Soul, and it plays every game perfectly, and you don't have to ever buy anything ever again.
It's the Onisoul.
Yeah.
They have that. It's called an Ouya full of OxyContin.
Or a PC. Michael Mora says, so after E3, what's the first thing you do once all the events are over with?
Sleep.
I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to go to a park, and I'm not going to look at a screen.
It's like a weird mixture of get drunk, go to sleep, get on an airplane, and sit there.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I like to come home, just relax in my own bed, wake up, take a nice hot shower for a very long time, and then just kind of like relax in my pajamas for a few days. Mm-hmm. Just decompress from the entire weekend.
Do you have a single onesie pajama with like the butt flap?
I would love that, like with the feet and the ass square.
Not great. It's weird. It's a weird feeling.
Yeah, is it like with that article about how Mystique pees in her costume?
I did not read that article.
What? And on that note,
thank you for joining us.
YouTube.com/IGN Beyond.
YouTube.com/IGN Beyond.
YouTube.com/MystiqueFacts.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/IGN Beyond. We're just putting up the full episodes and the breakouts now, but we are legitimately, after E3, we're going to start doing, I think, once a month episodes where they're probably going to be a lot like this one where we're just drinking and
that sounds awesome. I'm really down for that.
Seriously. And then we'll also start doing a lot of Let's Plays. I'm going to play Duck Dynasty.
Great.
Yep, and you will see people like Alana Pierce and Jared Petty and some of your favorite personalities.
Yep. E3 is coming up. We're all on Twitter. We are very active on there. If you'd like to track stuff, follow us all. I'm Max Scoville. Brian is Agent Bizzle. Marty is McBiggity with two G's and two T's. Andrew is Garfep. Jared is Petty, Jared. Alana is Charlanazard.
The BCU, the Beyond Cinematic
Ryan
Universe.
Ryan Clements is at Plum Cider.
He's going to be busy.
Colin is at No Taxation.
No, like if there's a time to be on Twitter and you care about games, E3 is that time.
Yeah.
Seriously, track that stuff.
Yeah.
And of course, IGN is IGN.
Yeah. Download the PS4 app. That's going to be honestly, legitimately the best way to probably watch all of our live streams, which are going to be going from Sunday morning with the EA conference all the way through Sunday. We're going to be, Brian, you're going to be revealing a bunch of Mafia 3 stuff.
Oh, yeah. God.
Because you've got some cousins who know about that.
Hey!
My favorite Brian Altano story is when the very first rumor of Mafia 3 leaked, when 2K Czech was still developing it. I leaned over to Brian. I was like, hey, Brian, do you know anything about Mafia 2?
Yep.
And he stared at me and he said, what? Because I'm Italian?
Mm-hmm. I'm hosting the Mafia debut world exclusive, whatever it is. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be huge. So check in. We're doing Up at Noon Live. We're doing live programming for days and days and days. You're interviewing developers from all over the world. We're working on some of the best games
we'll
in
have
the universe.
The Walking Dead Season 3.
Mm-hmm. God, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Watch our states of mind slowly fall apart.
If you are one of those nerds who cares about Persona, follow me on Twitter at Garfep. I will be talking a lot about Persona during the show.
There was a moment during last year's show where you guys were hosting a video and you started losing your minds.
Oh, yeah. You just came in.
Oh, yeah. Our conversation, and then you guys came in.
And we came in. So
my favorite
look
video.
Look forward
I've
to
ever
more
done.
Of that. E3 is insane. It's awesome. If you hate it, leave. If you love it, double down and stick with us because we're going to be rocking forever.
Yep. No, you drank it all. It's gone. The milk is gone, but hopefully it does a body good.
Milk.
On that note, Beyond, and thank you very much. We'll see you guys at E3.
Beyond!
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 E3 Beyond!
Shut
up. Beyond.
That wasn't milk.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.